lifetime of music. Curtain Radio.
22 minutes past 2 o'clock. Thank you for being with us. Adrian Traill joins me right now. Higher degree, higher research student at the School of Accounting, Economics and Finance. You're teaching, you're doing all this research. Good on you, Adrian. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Look, this is an interesting point, and there's probably a lot of reasons why this is the case. Why are you interested in finding out the reason that women are finding it hard to retire for their, or plan their retirement as they get a wee bit older, for single women?
Look, I saw a lot of women around me when I was working, and I'm in a similar age bracket, and they were just finding it was just one of the things that never made it off the to-do list. And the closer they got to retirement, it just still never made it off the to-do list. And then it got to the point where they felt, I've just missed the boat.
Is it an obvious answer, well, a reason, I suppose, is we were discussing earlier, that women through their lifespan, they become a mum, a wife, and they want to work, and a lot of more women are working these days than ever before. Our parents didn't, our mothers didn't. And so they take time out of the workforce, don't they? And that affects their fund.
It does. And I think as they get older, particularly the group I looked at, single women, there's a lot of caring responsibilities and a lot of social responsibilities fall to single women.
Oh, that is very true. I hadn't thought about that. Single women haven't got children.
Some of them did have children. Yes. I spoke to, the group I spoke to sat between about 50 and 65. So I had some who had some, mainly teenagers, still living at home. And then I had some whose children had grown up and left home, some who'd come back again, and some people who'd never had children and were on their own. So a whole different range of people.
You interviewed 21 women over 12 months, mainly in Perth, but other states as well.
Yeah.
How did you choose the women? Did they come to you? Did you put out a call?
I did. I put out so many calls.
Good on you.
I went to every group I could think of that might talk to this group of women. I put out flyers, I posted things on social media, and I got absolutely no responses. And in the end, I actually did it through referral. So it was the only way I could get to talk to this group of women was to find one and then ask her, did she know anybody else? And I went through it that way.
That's perseverance. Good on you for that.
It's just a group of women that I think once you know one, you start to know others. But other than that, they don't necessarily step outside of their lives because they're so busy.
Yeah, they are trying to keep their head above water.
Yep.
Is there a common thread with each of the women you spoke to and questioned about why they're worried? I mean, it's about the money and they need for retirement, obviously. But did you give a cross-section of the ages and that sort of thing?
Yeah, look, I think the big one is complexity. The system is so complex.
Is it?
It's a combination of superannuation that you save through while you're working. When you retire, it's potentially some age pension. It also includes any private savings, like a house you might have, taxation, and then all how those things work together. So while you're working, you have the opportunity to organise things so that you have it sitting the way you want, so you can maximise your position going into retirement. Once you're retired, you don't have so much of an opportunity.
Good point, actually. You've got to plan well ahead.
You do.
By talking to you, did you advise them that they should be doing that?
Look, I didn't. I was really just asking them questions and listening to what they said. I had a lot of women who, when they got to the end, said either, where can I go to get information? So I would send them to a few websites I could send them to. Or they would say, look, having spoken to you, I think I'm going to go and do something and actually get it underway, and I'm feeling a bit more comfortable.
Every Tuesday I have a financial advisor join me in the studio. We were talking about watching your plan and that sort of thing. And, you know, the big thing is to get professional advice. It's all too overwhelming. It really is for everybody to know the correct way to go.
Yeah. Look, I think it is. There were a couple of things that stopped the women I spoke to from getting professional advice. One was that a lot of them didn't have a lot of superannuation, and so they felt that perhaps professional advice wouldn't do them any good.
It might do, though.
Absolutely. Another one was that it's very expensive.
What, to get advice?
To get advice, yeah. At the moment, lots of advisors leaving the industry. The cost of advice has gone up, and a lot of the women I spoke to didn't earn that much money or were in semi-retirement already, and they were sort of saying, you know, well, if I'm going to go and pay $5,000 for a
that
financial
much.
Plan, can be, easily, that's all of my safety net wiped out.
It's a bit of a catch-22, isn't it? Because if you don't get it right, it may end up worse off.
It is.
But that outlay, yes, you're right. Yeah. So really, we should be looking at our retirement future at a young age, shouldn't we? I know it sounds awful. You don't want to think about it, but...
It's true. And I think a lot of what the government does with policy is focuses it at the younger end of things because you have time on your side. So the women I spoke to, sort of 50 plus, there's not a lot of government policy aimed at these women because retirement's closer. You don't have time on your side so much.
Yeah.
There's still things you can do. But there's just not a lot of government policy and action going on.
Well, if into the 60s age group, I suppose, going back with super, sometimes it was optional way, way back.
I actually had, across the group of women I spoke to, I had a section that were Gen Xers and a section that were baby boomers. And the baby boomers didn't have super their whole lives.
They really
only came in, you know, when they were maybe mid-20s, late-20s.
That's true.
They've been in and out of the,
that's very true, the employment market.
The Gen Xers had pretty much had it their whole life.
Well, but, you know, the financial aspect of your future is very much drilled into a lot of people, women particularly, young women these days. Then it just wasn't back then because you were going to stop working and have children stay home.
That's right. And I think also, look, some of the women I spoke to said that when they were growing up, their expectation was that they would get married, have children, and then be the homemaker. And now the expectation of society was that they would have gone out and saved for their retirement. Mm. And they felt a bit cheated, I guess, that the rules had changed along the way.
Well, it's true. I agree. Yeah, progress isn't always for the best. So what did you come up with any sort of solutions for these women? I mean, you live in panic wondering how you're going to support yourself in retirement.
Look, I haven't finished my doctorate yet. I've still got a few months to go.
Right.
But I think out of it will come some information around particularly where do you start? How do you actually start? If you're thinking I want to do it, it's very confusing, it's very overwhelming. Where do you start? And then also possibly once you've gotten started, what sort of questions do you ask? If you are going to go and seek advice, I think there's a lot of reluctance because of the...
Yeah.
There's been a lot of bad press about advice, and people who perhaps don't have as much money in super are very concerned they might get poor advice or might not know that it's poor advice.
Yeah, that's not a good thing, is it, to have that assumption when they are really at a point in their 60s, say, where they haven't got a lot of money in super anyway. I mean, how do they... They can't even keep adding to it. This is the problem.
No, that's right. And I think when they are worried that if they do go and get advice, that it may be bad advice, that they may lose money. And I actually spoke to some women who had in the past.
Oh dear, that's not good, is it?
Poor advice. And
I wonder how you make sure you get a reputable, you know, representative from a financial advisor. Or to go to one.
I think, well, for the women I spoke to, referrals.
So that's what you should be getting.
They would talk to their friends and they would say, who have you got? Who do you go to? Do you like them? Do they do what you need them to do?
Well, it's okay to get your money organised, what little you've got, but it's what they really do need is more of an injection of funds. And if they get advice to put their money into shares or something, I don't know how it can work, to hopefully build up their super. I mean, I don't know. Is that an option?
It is. I think, you know, as you get towards retirement, you're thinking more about how much you are putting in and how much is sitting there. There's always the option, if you've got spare cash, to put money in. But there's also the option to organise assets before you retire so that you can, if you are going to be eligible for the pension, so you can maximise your pension, because that will certainly help your super go further.
But your assets, you are allowed to have a home, aren't you?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what other assets would they have if they're scrounging for the money to put into their super anyway? Not to put in, but to have there.
Yeah, almost all of the women I spoke to had their own home. Most of them still had mortgages on their home. A lot of them were thinking about carrying those mortgages into retirement, or they were going to use their superannuation to pay out their mortgage. And that's the other big thing that I came across, was that tension between housing and saving. You've got the savings sitting in the superannuation, but you can't, once you retire, you don't have the money to pay the mortgage.
That's exactly right. It is a catch-22. And the whole thing is, with interest rates going over, you know, above everything at the moment, and we don't know when that's going to change, I like the freedom to know that my home's paid for.
Mm. Yeah.
It's a lovely feeling to know that you haven't got to meet that expense each month.
A lot of women were planning to go into retirement debt-free, and to do that they would either use their superannuation or substantially all of their superannuation.
Yeah.
And so that they had that home, that they had the security sitting there, but really that meant that then their retirement was predominantly going to be age pension because they had to spend their super to pay out their mortgage.
So are these people, a lot of them, working full-time or part-time?
Most of the people I spoke to were working full-time.
Okay.
And they very kindly took time out of their very, very busy lives to speak to me.
Yeah.
But most of them were working full-time. Most of them were going to continue to work and were planning to... really, very few had a drop deadline for retiring. They were going to continue to work into retirement.
Yeah, of course.
Some because they needed to, others because they wanted to. They enjoyed their jobs.
Yeah. The trouble is, though, I mean, I speak to our financial gentleman quite a bit about the fact, I think it's the cut-off putting in extra into your superannuation is 65, something like that. You can't add to it?
There's ways that you can as you get a little older. I'm not, my doctorate didn't sit around the technical side of things.
Right,
it sat
okay.
more around the behaviour side of things. So.
Yeah, because if you had a bonus of some sort, if someone left you some money, if they passed away or something, you can't actually put it into your super. It's got to go into your bank account, I was told.
Well, I think that's one of the things that a lot of the people I spoke to found so confusing.
It is.
That the rules change all the time. So it used to be, you know, there were ages where you could and then you couldn't make contributions. And now you can again.
No.
There's, you know, the retirement age has been creeping up. It just changes all the time. And a lot of women I spoke to said, well, what's the point? It's just going to change again.
Yeah, so when you finish your research and your doctorate, what are you hoping for?
I'm hoping to keep doing research, but that depends on the funding, government funding and organisation funding. If there's funding around for what I'm interested in, I'll keep doing it.
Would that be presented to somebody in Parliament?
There's research sort of, I guess it goes all sorts of different ways. Sometimes it's commissioned because there's a problem that they're looking for answers to. Sometimes it's government commissioned. Sometimes it's private commissioned. There's lots of advocacy groups out there that commission research.
Yeah, there should be a little bit more help, I think, for women in that position.
I think so. I think a lot of those women felt that they were a bit forgotten.
I agree.
They felt like they were perhaps in the too hard basket.
Yeah, no, it shouldn't be the case. I mean, the government at the moment are handing out to families for the children who are at school, which is a great thing, don't get me wrong, it's fantastic. And all other areas are being attended to. And women that missed out on contributing super up until they were about 20, 20 is still quite young, I suppose, it's still not quite right for them.
I think really there just needs to be some more help that they feel comfortable going to.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's superannuation funds or whether it's, you know, women who look more like them who are perhaps giving advice. There are so few women in the advice industry.
Yeah.
If you wanted to find a female financial planner, you would be struggling to find one.
You'd definitely be asking friends, getting referrals.
By example.
Thank you very much indeed. We wish you well. Let us know if it progresses and we'll have a chat about it again if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Adrian. Adrian Trail.